Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Would you pay off a drug debt for your child? Well, it was revealed during this week that children as young as 12 years of age are being threatened by drug dealers over debts they've built up because of their cannabis use. Now, Sadie Grace, who is CEO of the National Family Support Network, the NFSN, said that drug-related intimidation has always been a problem, but the people affected by it are getting younger. She said during the week, quote, "The age of people being intimidated has changed. We are hearing more about very young people running up debts for weed, which is not something we were seeing before. And they would be well into their drug use," she goes on to say, "or their drug dealing even, before their parents know about the debt. When they can't contain it anymore, that's when their parents would know." Now, her organisation works with up to 80 groups across the country to support families impacted by drugs use, including those who are targets of drug-related intimidation. Now, in 70% of cases where a family member is the target of a threat, it is the drug user's mother, according to the research by the National Family Support Network. 70% of cases where a family member is the target of a threat, it's the drug user's mother, which is definitely a new stat, I have to say. And this is, makes for grim reading, I must say. Grace said some parents have remortgaged their homes or gone to credit unions or banks for loans so they can pay off their dealers. This left some people in serious financial difficulty in recent years, as levels of drug debt range from €50 right up to €50,000 at 12 years of age. Families see this as a genuine debt, that their son or daughter has taken these drugs and that, you know, they owe the money for it. That it becomes their debt, I suppose. They would say, we have to pay it back. The problem is that we hear from a lot of families that when they do pay it back, of course, too quickly, that the dealers come back looking for more. Or if a local thug was paid to get the money, let's say, from them, that the family has to pay for that as well. And today I want to know what you think of parents paying off drug debts for their children. At the end of the day, it is their child, and all parents will do anything, I know that myself, to protect their children. Thankfully, I haven't been in that situation before. However, the arguments against paying for it is that the drug dealer will keep coming back for more money, and that while you are bailing your child out of a problem, you are not actually teaching them that their actions have consequences. And these parents are continuing, I suppose, to fund the drug trade and keeping the vicious circle going. So I want to know what you would do in this situation. Put yourself in the hypothetical situation today. Your child goes down the wrong route and starts dealing or taking drugs. You get a knock on the door from someone demanding money. What would you do? Now, you might think you're a million miles away from that. You might have a teenager and think you know absolutely everything that they're up to. But I suppose you never know, do you? Do you call the police on them? Have your own child arrested, maybe wash your hands of the whole thing, have the people pushing the drugs or the people that gave the drugs to your child, have them arrested and your child arrested. What would you do? Or would you protect your child at any given cost? 1850 410 494. The simple question today is, would you pay off a drug debt of your child? 1850 410 494 or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. Peter, you're live in Classic Hits. How you doing, Peter?
How's it going?
Not too bad, Peter. Go ahead. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, well, if it's a parent's first instinct is to protect their children. And I've been involved in cases like this where drug dealers have knocked on doors and parents don't know what to do. So, like, the small 12s, I can't see them having debts of more than 50 to 100 euro because of weed. But there's people that have had 10, as you said, 10 up to 50,000, and they come knocking on the door looking for the money, and they say, look, if you don't pay this, we're going to kill your son. End of story, and families have paid out money.
By the way, Peter, just from the outset, when you say you've been involved in something like this, in what regard or how so?
Helping people out when they find themselves in this situation. As Niall had often know, I'm an ex-drug addict myself.
Okay.
I'm 13 years since I've touched a drug, a drink, cigarette, anything. And I'm still involved with the sort of rehab side of it and helping people that find themselves in situations like this. It wasn't too long ago my brother had to help a family out that the son had ran up a big debt and the drug dealers came knocking on the door. The parents didn't know what to do. They didn't want their son to be shot, killed, wherever, found in a canal somewhere, which would happen, you know. Drug dealers don't take that seriously, so they paid the debt off, and lo and behold, when they paid the debt off, they came back looking for more money, you know. So, thing is, if you're a parent and this does happen to you, you don't want to ring the police because you don't want to, like, get this big old thing going. And it's hard for a parent when they're in that situation because, number one, they want to protect the child. Number two, like, they don't really know what to do about it.
Mm.
And then the debt has to be settled somehow because nobody's just going to give up on a debt of anywhere. Like, years ago in Blanchardstown, when I grew up, 100 euro debts people were getting shot for, you know? And so these days now, if it was me in the situation, I hope I never, ever have to be in the situation. But the first thing I'd do is I'd want to talk to the drug dealer and find out why they get the child so much without paying for it.
Mm.
Because, you know,
but it's probably
it's stupid on their behalf.
Probably, Peter, it probably naivety on my part. But, I mean, I would obviously be thinking, ring the guards immediately. They've got experience with this. Surely they're, you know, they're not going to let the cat out of the bag and so on, and they could have some sort of secretive meeting with you or whatever. Can that take place? Can you tell them in confidence?
That can take place. You can tell them in confidence, but at the end of the day, they want you to stand up in court and say that that person knocked on your door and that person demanded money from you. They have no case unless you can make a statement against the person and stand up in court on the day in question when you're asked to go to court.
Mm.
You'll have to stand up in front of everybody and say, yeah, this man approached me, asked for such and such money that he owed him for drugs. Now, look, a judge will go to town on a person like that, minimum of 10 years, because they're seeing people come every day through the court systems that are on drugs, that are robbing to take drugs. And so he's going to go to town on a drug dealer.
Mm.
But the fear of a parent having to make a statement and stand up in front of the people that are charging and get them locked up. Some parents just wouldn't have to, they don't want to do it because then they're in fear of their lives then, that his cronies are still out there, they're going to smash the house up, they're going to burn the house, shoot at the house, that kid is still, the debt still stands. You know what I mean?
But you're that saying, you're saying then that what you would do in that situation is go to the drug dealer and to try sort of reason with them.
Yeah, exactly. And say, like, what the heck, why would you give someone that amount of stuff knowing that, you know what I mean, they're young or irresponsible. Like, on their behalf, like, why would you let someone run up a debt of 20,000 knowing that they hadn't got the money to pay you, like?
Why do they do that?
Exactly.
Aren't there lots of different scenarios here? You know, not only a case where someone might run up a debt where they haven't been paying for their usage, but this could also be someone who, you know, is holding 20 grand's worth of drugs, and suddenly those drugs get taken off them or they get confiscated by the guards or whatever, and now that drug dealer is 20 grand out of pocket, and that's when they go asking for the money. So now suddenly the parent has a child who was holding drugs that got confiscated and now owe the 20 grand.
Yeah, well, that's a different scenario. It's down to the people then involved with that to say, look, you're the one that gave him the hold, you know what I mean? You have some of the responsibility that you actually gave him that stuff to hold and not knowing that the police was going to come and get it. So both of the people are responsible, the debt should be shared, you know. But I know of people that have had that amount of money and the parents paid it off, and then the drug dealers think, here's a handy few quid, let's just say he owed another 5,000 on top of that.
Mm.
And they take the parents to the cleaners. You know,
and by the way, Peter, before you started helping others, had your parents ever been in that situation with you?
No, because the drug dealer wouldn't let you run up that much money. Like, you run up, as I said, when I was growing up, if you ran up a bill of 100 euro or 100 pound, it might have been back then, what had happened was you wouldn't get any more stuff. And until you paid that, you were on a list that if you were caught, they'd try and get the money out of you somehow, give you a day or two, and if you didn't, who knows what happened to you? You got your legs blown off, or that was for 100 euro back then.
See,
they wouldn't let you go over that. Like. And nowadays, I hear these stories of drug dealers letting people run up bills of 20 and 30,000. Like, why give that person that much, like, without getting the money back for that.
I'm assuming they let them run it up because they know they're going to get the money no matter what. I mean, even if this person doesn't pay it, they're going to go to the poor mother of some child and get the money regardless. So these scumbags don't seem to care. They're going to get the money no matter what, or else they're going to shoot someone dead.
Some of them run the risk, and there is parents out there,
yeah,
thank God, that do ring the police. And so when the dealer knocks on the door looking for the money, he doesn't go around himself. He sends people around for him.
Yeah.
And so that he's not responsible. And the people that go around for him, they're the ones that end up getting locked up. So
yeah, well, immediately when I heard this and put myself in the scenario, I thought what I would do is I'd tell them to go and you know what. Because yeah, I would figure, well, look, you know, if my young fella owes you 10 grand and you're willing, I'm not going to give you the money and you're willing to shoot me, young fella, well, you're 10 grand down. Now, I know these so-called business people think they're very intelligent with money, and I don't think they want to be 10 grand down, so I'd probably take my chances. But that's an innocent, naive point of view from my perspective, because I've never been in the situation. I never will.
You leave yourself open then for your house to be smashed up.
Yeah,
and
well, that's it.
Even that drug dealer gets locked up, or the people that knocked on your door gets locked up. That debt doesn't go away.
Mm.
That debt is there until it is cleared.
Mm.
That 10,000 he owes to somebody else, and it goes all the way back to along the chain to the supplier bringing it in. So if you ring the police, that person gets charged. You're still living in fear, and the debt still outstands for your child.
Mm.
Let's just not say son, because daughters as well, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah, no, without a shadow of a doubt. Before I move on to Marty, actually, by the way, Peter, I think probably what's definitely an eye-opener today is the fact that this is happening for cannabis use. And I mean that insofar as, I think for most of us, we see cannabis use as sort of a minor drug. It's not taken that seriously. Surely, you know, people aren't running up debts of thousands for cannabis use.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the case, and that's creeping in more and more, that young fellas of 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age are using a bit of hash, and they're racking up these debts too.
And the way they're racking up them debts is they're saying to themselves, hang on a sec, I have a bunch of friends here, let me get an ounce of whatever, weed or hash, and I can sell it and get mine for free. And then they end up smoking it all together. Nobody pays for the hash, and he's left paying for it because he's the one that took the ounce out, and he's responsible for it.
Mm.
So that's how a debt like that would be run up. You couldn't keep going to a dealer every day and saying, will you give us €100 worth of weed, we'll pay it tomorrow. Then knocking on his door again saying, can I have €100 worth of weed and I'll pay it tomorrow. Anyone with a brain would say, no, you owe me €100. When you pay that off, you can get your next bag. You know what I mean? So in regards to weed, it's not, I wouldn't say the bills are as big as what would cocaine
So you're saying that I think there was a figure mentioned earlier on when I was talking about it initially. This left some people in serious financial difficulty. This is what the report said earlier on this week. In recent years, as levels of drug debt range from 50 to 50,000. So you don't think the 50,000 is on the sort of a cannabis debt?
Nah,
that's
a lot
things,
of cannabis.
Right?
A lot of cannabis. Where
a lot of cannabis over
cocaine,
a long time.
Yeah, where the cocaine is just it's the most expensive, and it can go the quickest.
Okay, you hang on there a second, Peter. Marty, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Marty?
Hiya, how's it going?
Yeah, not so bad. Before you give me your opinion, actually, just answer me this question. Do you have sympathy, by the way, for these people who do rack up these debts? I mean, ultimately, they're doing something illegal, so...
Do I have sympathy for them?
Mm.
I kind of do, yes. I kind of do. It depends on how they've racked the debts up and their attitude and everything else. Things can just go pear-shaped, as the other fella said. Like, you know, they can, you know, I don't think anyone purposely racks up these debts, you know, because you'd be in fear of your life.
Mm.
So I do, of course I do have a bit of sympathy and all that. But I think, I agree, that 50,000 sounds like an awful lot for cannabis. And especially for kids, like I don't know, like, that. I don't think a child would be able to rack up a 50,000 debt.
Yeah, no, I think we've established that, all right. Yeah, no, you're right. I don't think that's for the cannabis. That's
but,
that. Anyway, yeah.
But I would. I definitely bail them out. You know, I definitely would. And I'd try and scare the crap out of them afterwards. Somehow, I don't know how, I'd just try and you know, scare them into never doing it again, where it seems like a real scenario or whatever. I don't know. you know. But it, I would definitely bail them out, and I wouldn't get the guards involved as such because, you know, who knows what they would do, and then you might have the lads calling in again to shoot you this time.
You know,
it's a very tricky scenario, especially if they're 12 and 13 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's bizarre that this conversation has come up at this particular time and the stats that came out during the week. I don't know if either of you have seen this movie that's doing the rounds at the moment, the Irish movie. Well, it's been out a while, but I think it's because it's on Netflix now. It's a lot more people are seeing it. It's called Michael Inside. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Neither of you have. Right, okay. Well, it'll be interesting for you to watch. It's an Irish film, actually. Actually, it's fantastic. And it's about a young fella just like that who gets involved in drugs and lives with the grandfather. And ultimately, they come knocking on the door to pay up his debt when he was caught with the drugs or whatever. But it's very raw. It's very real, actually, as to what can happen. And it just, how things can spiral out of control, I guess, with one bit of drug usage or maybe carrying drugs. But I would also think that, you know, stories we hear, Marty and Peter, maybe you've knowledge of this as well, is that in a lot of communities, these young people, 12, 13 years of age, you know, may not be exactly smoking at themselves or whatever, but they're often being asked to transfer or hold drugs, you know, with the chance of fortune and fame at the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
Being the big man.
Being the big man, yeah.
They gain status then in the estate, but there is a lot of young kids around that's their sole purpose is to transfer, whatever, hold it for the drug dealer so that they get looked down and people think that they're these big gangsters and they're only 12 and 13 walking around throwing shapes. And there is naive kids out there that do that. And what happens is they get caught with it. And sometimes when they get caught with it, like, they try to get another batch to pay off what they got caught with and end up losing that as well. And so that's how it can spiral out of control as well.
Right.
Because a lot of people would get drugs, if they're caught with them, the dealer would say, look, I'll give you this amount, this will clear it. When you sell this, this will clear the debt and you're free of the debt. Mm. And then something goes wrong with that as well. So then they owe for two batches.
Right, okay, well, to sum up just for the moment, Peter, you're saying with someone who has experience and does advise people on this due to your own background, you're sort of saying, look, maybe the best foot forward is to go directly to the dealer to try and maybe reason with them as to why they allowed their son or daughter to rack up such a debt. Maybe they can come to some sort of compromise. Judging by the stories I read in the papers, I don't know how you compromise with these scumbags, but nonetheless, you're saying that can happen, and ultimately they are human and they want their money and ultimately don't want blood in their hands as much as they possibly can avoid it. You're saying that, Marty, on the other hand, you're saying you would, and you can see how parents would pay off a debt.
Definitely, because you'd be in fear. Also, it sounds a bit shady, who knows, they could be adding money on, like, Peter there was saying.
They do, without a doubt. Once they know the parents are willing to pay a little debt, they'll add money onto it, and that's assured as I'm on this phone, that happens. I've seen it happen.
I would approach them though as well, and I would say, give me a definite figure of what they owe, and then obviously if you don't have it, there's like, you can get like, you know,
payment plans set up. They will do. I've seen people do that, set up payment plans. But the thing is, they have to be warned not to give your son or daughter drugs again, because you bail them out once, but you're not going to bail them out twice.
Mm.
No.
The thing is, you can approach a dealer and you can tell him, spread the word, if my son is given out, I'm not paying any more debts for them. If my daughter is given out by anybody else, I'm not paying any more debts for them. So warn everybody that you know that not to give them anything. Because if they run up a bill, it's not getting paid anymore.
Yeah.
I'm paying them one bill, and that is the end of it. They're on their own now.
But ultimately, Peter, you've never come across a situation where the parent has said, look, I'm paying you nothing, that's the end of it, I'll take me risks, I'll take me chances, good luck to you, and that the drug dealers leave them alone. Are you kind of painting a picture that in 99.9% of the cases they will pay, and lucky, the luckiest outcome will be that they only pay one payment? Is that the best outcome?
The best outcome is that they meet with the dealer, and if they can't pay it all in one chunk, that they come to an arrangement that they can pay this much and this much and this much.
Yeah, but they will. But they will pay.
They will pay. Yeah, if they have it. Now, what about the parents that don't have it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What happens? You tell me.
Yeah, these are the ones that show up on the radio: man murdered, man killed. These are the ones house shot at in this area and that area, and these are the ones that some people don't even hear about, where the young fella was battered and left in hospital. These stories don't reach the news about these young people that are left in hospital, or a girl got her hair shaved because she didn't pay her drug debt. None of this stuff shows up in the news because the families don't go to the news, the person that owns the money doesn't go to the news, and the drug dealer doesn't go to the news. So there's a lot of stuff underground that's happening that people don't even know about.
All right,
and
okay.
There is parents that can't afford to pay the debt, so the son, daughter, they're left beaten, and the house is smashed up, and it's just a circle that goes around and around and around until eventually the debt is paid or someone dies.
1850 410 494 if you want to give us a shout. Sharon has done that. How are you, Sharon?
Hi, how are you doing?
Not too bad. You're live in Classic Hits. Right, Sharon, it's a harsh reality that it's happening, but it is happening. What would you do?
Well, I'd like to think that I wouldn't pay off a drug debt for a child of mine if they got themselves into that situation. But in my opinion, I don't think parents are being hard enough on their kids when they start smoking cannabis and using recreational drugs like that. Especially if they're living at home in their own homes, still living with their parents.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard of too many children like going into fifth or sixth year or first year in college and then they start playing around with drugs. So I think that the parents do turn a blind eye.
You mean they're playing around with drugs, parents having the knowledge of them playing around with drugs?
Exactly. Like, you know yourself, I started smoking when I was in secondary school, and as soon as my mother, she knew I was smoking. Like, you can smell it off you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sure these kids are coming in and, like, you can smell a hash a mile away.
Oh, you can. And by the way, can I just say that?
We're walking down the street,
yeah, absolutely.
And you can tell people smoking it, yeah.
And I have said this numerous times in the last couple of years that there has been a sea change. Now, I'm in Dublin, and you walk through Dublin City any given day, and I guarantee you, at some point you will smell cannabis somewhere.
At some point, almost every day.
Almost every day you will. There's a waft of it all over the place. So it's been smoked. It's been smoked.
Cigarettes.
It's been smoked outside shops, outside cinemas, at bus stops. Yeah. So absolutely, there's a blind eye thrown to it.
And these kids are coming home and they're hardly doing their own laundry now, you know. And I'm sure some parents are turning a blind eye. And I think if it was caught early and they could try and rectify it, then the kids wouldn't go on to harder drugs and then possibly get into these harsh debts.
Well, the spike... Yeah, no, and it's a good point, but regardless of going on to harder drugs, they seem to be racking up the debts on smoking hash anyway.
But I agree with Peter, it's not 30 or 50 grand, like, for hash.
No, the debts, we've kind of cleared that up.
Yeah, we don't think so.
Unless some drug dealer is letting someone away with free cannabis for a long, long time to rack up 50 grand.
Exactly, I don't think the drug dealers are that generous now.
Say again?
I don't think the drug dealers are that generous.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. But if that scenario came to your door, Sharon, you'd like to think that you wouldn't pay it, but...
Yes.
But what?
But then they are your children and they're your flesh and blood, so, you know...
Well, this is it. You're going to do whatever you can to protect them.
Unless it comes, I can't really make a comment, I suppose, to be fair, unless it comes to your door, you know?
Yeah, well, you can. You can, I suppose, but I understand, unless it does come to your door, it's a difficult one to judge, all right, with all the different potential outcomes of it. Hang on there, Sharon. Robbie, you're live in Classic Hits.
Hey,
Robbie.
How's it going, mate?
Not too bad. Go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who are saying that they won't pay and they tell them to get lost and so on and so forth, it's all well and good saying that, but when it comes to your door, you have to remember most of these people wouldn't be involved in any sort of criminality in their life and they've never had the police at the door. But when you got the likes of these fellas coming to the door, and these are not nice people, you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
these people want what they want and they're going to get what they get. It's not, you can put your son or daughter offside, you've other members of your family around, walking the same streets. These people do not care. And people are being shot for as low as we've read in the papers over the years for €500.
Mm-hmm.
They put the money out there because they can't be seen to be letting their guard down on anything or anything like that. And they have to come across as...
So they would rather not get the £500 than look like they're letting people off lightly.
Yeah, but look, let's be honest here, Mike. What's £500 to a drug dealer? You know, some of these main fellas, it's nothing. You know what I mean? But the problem is that you've got a lot of addicts over the years as well who were dealing in heroin and so on, and they were using more than they were actually selling. And then that came the problem there too as well. Do you remember there was times when they were talking about the Westies who were putting heroin through the door of addicts who were trying to come off the gear, like, you know, just to get them back on it. But this is,
well, also hanging outside methadone clinics and trying to get them back on it and so on, yeah.
Look, methadone's another story altogether.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's for another day, yeah.
It's more addictive than the heroin itself. But, I mean, as I said to the researcher there, Ireland as a whole needs to have a sit-down and have a proper conversation about drugs, because we never had. What we done was, in the 80s and the 90s, with the likes of the CPAD and all that, when the heroin problem was at its height, if you want to call it now, which is still as bad now, let me tell you, that the communities had to come out and stand up against what was going on. The powers that be didn't. They tried to sweep it under the carpet and hope that it would go away. I mean, where they are in Leinster House, walk 5 minutes away from Leinster House and you're in a completely different world than the one that is depicted by, you know, the nice big shiny picture that you see in Dublin Airport of how lovely Ireland is. Mm-hmm. Because what you'll find is you'll find a lot of addicts in and around the city. Now, the thing is that the war on drugs is lost, and it's lost a long, long time ago. And I would be known as a very anti-drugs type person, but it's something that we need to have a look at. If you turn around and say to a 12-year-old, see that package, you bring that down to that number 25 there, and I'm going to give you 500 quid. The young blood comes home to the mother, low-income family, and I'm not picking on any low-income families for a reason, and he hands over the mother 200-300 quid. Where'd you get that? I say nothing, man, we can get it again. You know what I'm saying? The likes of these things happen. And, I mean, somebody says there the parents have to be a lot stronger on it as well. They do. But the government also has to be a lot stronger on it as well. And we just can't expect that this problem's going to go away overnight, because it's not. Because if one drug dealer gets shot, there's 10 more standing right behind him to come in and take his place.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, back to the cannabis issue as well, though, Robbie, because that's an interesting one in itself, considering there's the likes of 12, 13-year-olds, you know, getting involved. And Sharon has a point. Like, there, it is being smoked openly around the country currently.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents aren't stupid either. So, and I have heard from parents on this show before. I think there's been topics done on this show before about parents coming on saying, ah, yeah, well, I let little Johnny have a joint the odd time because there's no big deal and I did it, and sure, what's the big deal? Yeah. Like, what's going on there? You know what I mean? Surely that has to be looked at as well from a parenting point of view.
But that comes down to the conversation about drugs that I was talking about. We need to sit down as a nation and have an adult conversation. Because the likes of things that we hear about, the likes of hash or, you know, medicinal purposes, so on and so forth. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things going around. Like that young girl down in Cork who says she got her medicine and the mother was saying that it makes her feel better and all that. But let's have the conversation. Let's see if that's actually true or not. Let's see where we can bring this. Because if there is some sort of cannabis that is good for health and all that, well, why don't we use it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is that, like, I don't expect us to turn around and be Amsterdam. But, I mean, the likes of the Class A drugs, obviously not. Let's not make them legal. But, I mean, the likes of the cannabis and so on, maybe there is an argument for that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
The thing is, we haven't had the conversation.
But even you look at the likes of Amsterdam and that, you're half the world's kingpins are, you know, running Liver, drugs through the likes of Amsterdam and you know, Central Europe and all the rest of it. So I don't know what the answer is, but however,
But the thing is, we'll never have the answer if we don't sit down.
If we don't have an open conversation about it. I do agree. Hang on there, because Michael, I almost forgot about you. How are you, Michael? You're live in Classic Hits. How are things?
How's it going, Mike?
Not too bad. Your point there, Michael. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, the gentleman from Blanche was talking there about, you know, the parents, they pay the debt and then they clear debt and then the dealers come back looking for more kind of thing. And I was just thinking, like, you know, we do, like, that's racketeering, you know? Like, that's...
It is, absolutely.
That's like business deal, dishonest and fraudulent business dealings, which is the definition of racketeering. And we have racketeering laws, and, I mean, the justice...
Well, we do. We've anti-drug laws as well, but you look where that's gotten us.
We're not talking about the drug, we're talking about the behaviour of the dealers towards parents of children. That's racketeering, like, the justice minister and the Gardaí could very, very easily set up a unit that just goes around on this specific area and, you know, do people for racketeering, and the dealers get it into their heads very clearly. Oh, we can't go down this path because it's too risky for us. These
right, okay,
serious.
Yeah,
that could be done. But when you look at it, when you take a wider look back, I mean, this is a big business. This is like, you've got solicitors, barristers, judges. You've got the prison system. You've got the people who supply the prison system, like the catering companies. And all. Like, it's a big, big, big money business. And when you look at it, you kind of get the common sense that you get the understanding why they don't want to enforce these laws. It suits them. Too many people are making money from all of this, you know. As regards would I personally pay a debt?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I would ever be in that because my kids are very young and I'm in touch with them, et cetera, et cetera. But mm-hmm. if I was in a situation where I had like a 20-year-old kid or something came up to me and said I'm after getting that much debt, I don't know. Maybe if I was in a position to, I might. But like, as a couple of people were saying there, why are you letting, like, this is based on this 12-year-old case, why are you letting a 12-year-old get into that amount of debt? Like,
get into debt, yeah.
Yeah, these drug dealers must be just young lads who don't, maybe they've all copped on, these drug dealers copped on now, that they can go and get these payments, because I can guarantee you, they're going and they're picking on single mothers who they know can go to the credit union. And
yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, and I can imagine it. They're 50 quid. Don't worry about it. Take another bag, 50 quid. Are you sure? Yeah, no worries. Sure, listen, pay me back when you can. And then suddenly, right, let's get them for that and let's put a bit of interest on that. So this, as you say, this racketeering now is becoming a business as much as the drug dealing is becoming a business. So anyway, look, I do have to take a break. I appreciate you coming on the air and thanks for your point, Michael. Lisa, you're live on Classic Hits. How are you? You, Lisa.
Hey, how are you?
Not too bad. Go ahead, Lisa. In relation to the paying off a drug debt for children, another few minutes on that. So what's your point on that?
Well, I think, you should just do it because it did happen to my mother. She was threatened. Her life was threatened and my younger sibling was threatened, like, if he didn't pay off the debt. So she had to borrow twice, took out two loans to pay off the debt. And we only found out later, after she passed away, that this all happened. Because she kept it quiet, kept it from the rest of us, because we would have been quite angry. Like.
And she had paid it?
She had to do it, yeah.
And sorry, who was the person who the drug debt was, she was paying it for?
My younger sibling.
Your younger sibling?
Yeah, okay. I won't say whether.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to establish. Sorry, it was your younger sibling. Can I ask ballpark how much?
We never found out how much, but she took out two loans. So, I mean, it would have been a lot of money, so.
And this never came to light until she passed away?
Till after, there was actually more that happened after that as well with the same individual. But I mean, luckily now, you see what happens with, I don't know if you're familiar with what happens with weed, what causes psychological problems.
Well, I've heard plenty about it, all right, yeah.
Well, the effects, you see, they want to legalise weed. People who smoke it are okay with legalising weed. But the issue is the chemicals that cause paranoia. And actually, later on, down the line, can cause paranoid schizophrenia, which is well known as well, caused put down to weed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're left on medication and blah, blah, blah. But this is what causes these problems, is the chemicals that are in the weed. But if the medical marijuana is not, that's not in it. Like, they take that out for the medical version.
Mm.
So bringing in the medical version would be a good idea.
Okay.
But not legalising, like, cannabis full stop. Because there's chemicals put into that to heighten the high. So you get a high from that. You don't get a high from medical marijuana.
Sure, I know what you mean. And I suppose that's a bigger subject that we can, and has been discussed on the show before, is to, you know, whether to legalise it or bring in medicinal cannabis and all the rest of it. But in relation to your younger brother or sister, was it cannabis then that they had racked up the debt on? Or it had it gone to Class A drugs?
It was weed. And we never found out if it was anything else. I mean, it had to have been something else because the money wouldn't have been that high like that.
Right, okay,
like that.
Yeah, it was significant.
But we never found out, but at the end of the day, that person now is on, like, medication for paranoid schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all just down to that. There's a lot of psychological problems in the younger youth and generations of today. You know, that's what causes all the violence, and the parents don't understand them because that's what's going on in their heads. They need therapy, they need medication. Like, it's causing all of these problems, you know, so...
And how bad... Did you find out how bad the threats were? Were they violent or what had happened?
Well, with him or her...
That's okay, no bother.
The Like, I never found out how bad it was. But it was really, they had to move away. Put it that way.
Right.
They had to leave and move down to the country. Down far, like Cork, you know. So
right.
They had to move really far. And unfortunately, they can't come back up here.
So it just breaks up families, it destroys lives. And those, you know, and some people, very few I might say, who are saying that, you know, people who do pay off these drug debts are only just adding fuel to the already flaming fire that is this circle of racketeering and, you know, adding to the drug trade and allowing these guys to target other families.
It's a lot more complicated than that because, I mean... You do have low-income families, like Dr. Caller said, and people are willing to take in cash if it comes in from any angle. They don't want to talk about where it's coming from.
Mm.
And the problem is the communication is not there with the kids. Kids aren't being educated on this because there's too many psychological problems down in that area, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The parents have psychological problems, so they're not kind of teaching their kids these things because they're not thinking about them because they've got enough worries to go on. So there's a lot kind of that factor into it, like in... It's very hard to just say, oh, well,
yeah, it's
them, you know what I mean?
And I think we've kind of come to more of an understanding of that over the last hour as well, that it's a hell of a lot more complicated than maybe a simple answer of yes or no. But hang on a second, Lisa, I'm running rapidly out of time, but...
I'll have to go anyway.
All right, fair enough. Okay, Lisa, I appreciate you coming on, though. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Angela, very quickly, you're live in Classic Hits. I just got about a minute, Angela.
You?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think you just go to the guards. Because, like, you've heard a few callers there saying it, you know, that they paid off one debt, came back, paid off another debt, came back. And all you're doing is kind of bailing out your kids and kind of saying, oh, you know, you go off, do drugs, you do up this, you know, you get up this big debt, I'll be there, I'll pay it off you. That's not teaching any lessons to any kids of any age.
Mm.
There's got to be consequences, you know.
Sure.
So you need to sit them down, find out who it's from. And deal with it in that way. Deal with it with the guards. You know, rather than just constantly, like, okay, it might be 100 euro, it might be 20 grand. What's the point in giving them 20 grand?
Well, ultimately, you know? As I think Peter was on earlier on, said that if you do go to the guards, that's all well and good, and the guards might look after you, but ultimately the guards need to put the person away who gave the drugs initially. You're going to have to go up in front of a judge, you're going to have to appear in front of the people who wanted to kill you in the first place, or wanted to get the debt from you, and maybe wanted to break your windows, or smash your car up, or do even worse. So it's sort of a vicious circle. Look, you know, ultimately it's for everybody to decide when it comes to their door, but...
Well, isn't it about time that maybe people started doing that? Because this is what's happening. People aren't doing that.
Mm.
You know, so why not start doing that? Go up against them. You know, because if they've threatened your life and something happens to you, they're going to be in trouble.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.